1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 26. Verse 26, I want to begin reading. Verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." To my message tonight, this particular thought, it all depends on if fool means fool. That's what I want to call my message tonight. Now look at it again. It says, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But again, verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. And my thought tonight, it depends on if fool means fool. Let's pray. Father, tonight we give you thanks for the good song service. And now as we read the Bible and as we stand here needing to preach it, we depend upon the Lord to help us. So help me this evening, Lord. May this message be used of the Spirit of God tonight and give us a good service in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of the word fool in terms of definition, we think of a person that is deficient of knowledge, deficient of wisdom. A fool In the scriptures, the word fool is not always used in a good way. The Bible says God has said in his heart, or the fool rather, God said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So you have a fool in that context who is basically a person who rules God out of his life. And so you have that type of a fool, and that is not good at all. Then you have what Proverbs talks about, a prating fool. But now in this passage of Scripture, you have the word fool that's used, and it's not used in a bad kind of a way. When it comes to the matter of being called a name, you know, there's something that it helps us to always understand. Sometimes slander may be to our advantage if it comes from an undesirable source. It's just like this example. You know, the world tonight looks at Christians and they call us fools. We're considered in the eyes of the world a fool. Then I don't have any problem being called a fool then, do you? And sometimes when it comes to life and society in general, when people criticize us, it always pays too to consider the source. You know, for example, if an ungodly person compliments me, then I'm not going to receive with high esteem that compliment because I consider the source where it's coming from. The value of an assessment on the part of another individual is based upon the type of person that's making the assessment. It's who is saying what they're saying. If a godly person, someone that's reputable, has good character, gives you a compliment, then you can take that to the bank. Again, it all depends on, in other words, we need to always consider the source. When God calls a person a fool, then that's noteworthy. But also, we need to consider sometimes, even when God calls us a fool, what does fool mean? You see, actually here, in this particular passage, this is the assessment on the part of the world. We are considered fools for Christ's sake. The unsaved world out there looks at what we are and what we're doing, and they consider us a nutcase many times. In other words, we're a fool in the eyes of the world. Well, I can handle being called a fool by the world, but I do get concerned if God calls me a fool. But you see, again, keep this in mind, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I don't like a fool being used in that definition at all. But here, the Corinthian people, they were considered fools by the world, and this verse has so much to offer, so many thoughts here. God's chosen the foolish things of the world. It's the people out there that the world considers foolish that God uses. It's the people that in the eyes of the world have no reputation or mean nothing. But that's the type of a person that God uses. Notice this, God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So again, it all depends on what fool means. If fool means fool, it all depends on what it means. I've said all that as introduction to basically say this. It is amazing the kind of a person that God will use. It is amazing how the Lord uses people that are unlikely to ever succeed, that have a poor track record, that perhaps maybe has been a failure in their past, maybe has never been able to get anything right, maybe has struck out every time, maybe comes from a disastrous background, maybe comes from a broken home, maybe comes from a context where no one would ever thought they would have ever succeeded. And yet God many times takes the base things of the world, takes those that are considered a failure in the eyes of the world, and sometimes, by the way, that person is truly a failure. By the way, when God saved us, everyone that He saved, all of us, when we got saved, God was saving a failure. We were already a failure, weren't we? We were marked as a failure. We were heading towards a failure's eternity. But God still saved us in spite of where we are, who we are. God took the foolish things of this world when He saved us, and it's an amazing thing when you consider the type of people that God sees fit to use. Very seldom do you find the Lord putting His hand upon someone that has it all together, so to speak. You know, someone that's reached the epitome of wisdom or knowledge and all that. Though there's a lot of intelligent, smart people saved, we understand that. But I'm just saying, as a general rule, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in this particular chapter, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It's the people that the world looks at and says that individual is a flat failure. That individual has no potential. That individual is destined to doom. But God's grace takes a person like that, turns him around, and uses him for His glory. The type of a person that God uses amazes me. It amazes me. In fact, one of the most humbling truths that's found in the Word of God is the fact that God would even use you or me. You're not looking at much tonight, I can tell you that much right now, in and of myself. And I'm not looking at a whole lot of muches either, in and of yourself. If there's any merit, any credit in any one of us in this building tonight, it's because of what God has made us to be. None of us have any boasting rights. We really don't. But you see, we're the type of people, praise God, that God sees fit to use. So I'm glad that what the world calls failure, I'm glad God can make them a success. I go to the book of Acts now and I'm thinking of a person in the book of Acts that epitomizes what I'm saying. I'm thinking of a person in the book of Acts. This individual, you don't even find his name hardly at all in Scripture. We find him used in one particular passage of Scripture, and God saw fit to use that unnamed, well, of course he's named, but far as notoriety, far as a very popular individual, he wasn't. But God saw fit to use that old boy. You know what his name was? Ananias. I'm thinking of Ananias right now. You see, when Paul got saved, and preached about it this morning, when Paul got saved, God put his hand on one person and told that one person that he wanted him to go to Paul, and basically he wanted him to be the vessel to be used of God to counsel, to give Paul the apostle some direction. And we all know that the name Paul is a household word when it comes to Christians, when it comes to churches today, when it comes to a lot of people around this world who know anything about the Bible, the word Paul, name Paul, is a household word. But there's not a whole lot of people that know a whole lot about the person that God used to instruct Paul, to encourage Paul, and to be used to direct Paul. Ananias was his name. You wouldn't have thought? You wouldn't have thought a guy like that would have been used. You'd have thought that the Lord would have picked somebody like a Peter or like a John or someone else, let's say, like a Philip. You would have thought that the Lord would have picked one of those, let's say, disciples who were more popular to get to Paul and to instruct Paul. But no, he didn't. He used a guy like Ananias. If you'll turn back to Acts, I'll show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Notice what it says. Acts 9, verse number 10. There was a certain disciple, certain. That right there says a lot. He was just a certain disciple. It says, named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight." Don't you love how the Bible, how words are used that gets us to thinking about other great truths as well? The street called Straight. That catches my attention. Because it's amazing that now Paul is on the street called Straight. That's where you and I are at tonight. Paul used to be, before he got saved, on the street called Crooked. Now he's on the street called Straight. That'd make a sermon that some right preacher would get behind it. Street called Straight, and inquiring the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. My, isn't it amazing? We see this before he was persecuting, now he's praying. Before he was raising havoc and was a threat to the church, but now we see him praying for the church. Verse 12, has seen a vision of man named Ananias is coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. In other words, what was happening here is God was preparing Paul for this man by the name of Ananias to come to him and to give him some direction. Verse 15, then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem." Even Ananias is a little bit reluctant to want to make contact with this man because Ananias remembers him when he was raging with threats and raging with bitterness and raging with hatred. And Ananias, as much as said, "Lord, do you mean me? Go to see that guy with the type of background that he's had? How can I be sure that this is the right man? How can I be sure that his life has changed? Me, go to see him?" I mean, really now, if you had somebody that was known up and down the country as an individual that was just a holy terror, having people killed, doing all these terrible things against the church, and then you get word that this guy is saved, and then you're told, go pay him a visit. Think about it. Would you be very excited to go? Not hardly. Well, let's keep reading here. Look at it. "And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name." See, Paul had the authority from the chief priest to arrest people, to literally persecute and make life miserable for Christians. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and children of Israel, for I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Amazing. The kind of a person that God uses. What an amazing truth. I guess, again, coming back to my original point, it all depends on if fool means fool. Undoubtedly here, no question about it, fool is not used in a bad way. Because again, we're talking about people that are called fools by the world. That's the kind of person God uses. I'm going to summarize it like this tonight. Here's my point. All right, here it is. The kind of person that God uses is this kind of a person. Number one, it's a person who's connected. That's the first point. Connected. Kind of person God uses, person's connected. Connected. What do you mean, preacher? I mean connected like being saved. Connected to Christ. Born again. It begins with being connected. Knowing the Lord. Ananias knew the Lord. Saul now knows the Lord. So it's a person, the person that God uses is a member of the body of Christ. It's a person who's been born again. It's a person who's a child of God. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the local church, which is like this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ, which is the church, which is the main church. I could put it like this, maybe we'd understand it. The mother church. In that sense. The kind of person God uses has to be a saved person, connected, someone that's a member of the body of Christ. God cannot use an unsaved vessel. God cannot use a person who's not connected. Now we know that God can if He wants to. One time I find Him using a jackass in the Old Testament to get the attention of a hireling prophet. Remember that, don't you? God used a fish one time to get the attention of Jonah. So God can do whatever He wants to. He's God. But I'm talking about the person that the Lord uses in the matter of ministry in a very special, powerful way is someone, first of all, that knows the Lord is their Savior. A connected person. A connected person. There's a general church. There is a local church. One becomes a member of the church by the new birth. They're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's real spiritual baptism in contrast to what the charismatic people say. There's one baptism. Baptized by Christ into the body of Christ. That's spiritual baptism. We have a local church, which is this church. And what we do in this local church ought to be a replica of the church. We ought to be a miniature example of the church, made up of saved, baptized believers. Preachers don't baptize anybody into the body of Christ, not in a spiritual sense, but we do have water baptism, which is one of the ordinances given to the local church for people that have been saved. They need to be baptized, and when we baptize a new convert, that person, their baptism itself is somewhat of a picture of spiritual baptism. Baptized into the body of Christ. But it's a connected person. We need an earthly church home, don't we? We need a place to call home. Church members need, or a Christian needs, to be a member of a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church. Every person ought to be connected to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church as a saved person. Not visiting around all over the country like tramps, going from one place to the other. The reason why a lot of people do that is it's a way to get away from commitment. And a lot of them really like to get into these great big churches because they can get lost in a crowd. Nobody can see them. Nobody's going to ask them to do anything because it's just a big crowd around them. But put somebody in a small church like this and we're always looking and needing people to get involved. Well, that's good though. Everybody needs to be connected for God to use them. I believe that God will use a Christian that is connected to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching local church. Church membership is important. Don't let anybody say it isn't. It is important because it represents commitment. I could put it to you like this, though. can a person be a Christian without being a member of a local church? The answer is yes. You can be a member. But you know what that's like, though? That's like being a student, but you won't go to school. That's like being a soldier, but you won't join the army. That's like being a citizen, but you won't pay your taxes and you won't vote. That's like being a salesman, but you have no customers. That's like being a seaman without a crew. That's like being an author without readers. That's like being a football player without a team. Years ago, I used to sail. I used to sell Fuller Brush, in fact. I was one of them old Fuller Brush salesmen. Now, I made a little bit of... that's why I was a student at Bible college. I made a little bit of money off of being a salesman, Fuller Brush salesman. But it didn't make enough hardly to feed my... Well, we didn't have a family then. All I had was my wife's mouth to feed because the little boy hadn't been born. But I remember them days as a Fuller Brush salesman. They trained us well how to do it. We'd walk up to the door. I can still remember the little sales pitch I had. How many of you have ever had a Fuller Brush salesman come to your door? Let me see your hand. Those guys are aggressive. They're almost like vacuum cleaner people. Those people are dedicated. You know, you have to be pretty dedicated to be a salesman, go door to door. It's not easy. But we had a little packet that we'd carry, and we'd give little gifts away. I can still remember this. One sales pitch was this. We'd greet with person come to the door. We'd introduce ourselves. We'd say with a big smile on our face, "Hi, I'm the Fuller Brush salesman with a gift for you." Then I would say, "I have a set of silicone gloves to give you." I said, "Would you hold out your hand, please?" They'd hold out their hand, and I had this little tube of stuff, a little hand cleaner or hand cream, and I'd put a little hand cream. They'd rub her hands. Well, it wasn't a total lie. But I'm just telling you, that was a sales pitch. I couldn't get very many people to wear the gloves I was wanting to give them or take them. Now, what's the point of what I'm saying? There is no point for what I'm saying. This is just a foolish moment, so understand that. But I'm saying this, I'd had a hard time selling anything if no one would ever come to the door. You can be a Christian without being a member of a local church, but you'll not be a good one. Because that's God's plan. That's God's order. A local New Testament Bible-believing gospel church. The kind of person God uses is connected. Connected, first of all, to Christ, and I believe also plugged in to the local church. Number two, the kind of person that God uses is not only a person that's connected, but it's a person that is just a common person. Common. Ananias was a common person. He was called a certain disciple. Just a certain disciple. Certain. Common person. He wasn't a teacher, from what we understand. He wasn't in some kind of a special position. A certain disciple. But God still used him. Hey, there's hope for anybody in this building tonight. God can use anybody that's here. He uses a common person. There's all kinds of Bible examples of that. What about Nathan? Nathan. David's friend. What about the little maid that loved her master and wanted to see him healed of leprosy? Carried captive into the land, but she still loved her master and she was instrumental in Naaman being healed. The little maid. What about the little lad in the Gospel of John who didn't have anything at all to speak of except a little small lunch, but he was willing to dedicate it to God, and a multitude got fed. God uses common people. Common people. If you can't sing like a songbird, if you can't teach a class, if you can't do all these other things, there's still great hope for you in the right kind of a way. God's not looking for talented people. God's looking for dedicated people. God's not nearly as much interested in how much you know, how much you have to offer. is, are you willing to surrender? That's the kind of a person that God uses. That's the case here with this man, with this certain disciple by the name of Ananias. Greatest quality we can have is to love our Lord. Just love the Lord. We may come short in many ways, but if you love the Lord, God's pleased tonight. What about what Jesus said to Peter? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? That seemed to be the acid test. That seemed to be the defining moment. Jesus didn't ask Peter if he knew a certain thing, if he was willing to do a certain thing, if he had all these abilities. He just simply said, do you love me? If we just love the Lord, we'd please him. Just love him. So, the kind of person God uses is connected. Number one, a common person, just a common person. The kind of person that God uses is committed. Committed person. I mean by this, Ananias was a devout man. You remember that word? We read it. He was a devout disciple. He was devout. That means he was committed. Committed. He had a good report. He had respect. People that knew him spoke well of him. He had a character that matched everything. He was committed, devout, devout. You know, in this world that we're living in tonight, people need us more than they need what we offer. People need our presence more than they need our wisdom, our talents. They just need our presence. Think about that for just a moment. Do you realize one of the greatest ways to minister to people is not to go there expecting to be some kind of a walking dictionary or full of knowledge or to give them a lot of counsel or to give them a lot of advice? Just being there many times will get the job done. People need us more than they need what we have to offer. The encouragement of presence. I read an illustration one time of a little sick invalid girl whose mother really had forsaken her. But the little girl winds up in the hospital. And the little girl was lonely and felt forsaken by her mother. But her mother heard about her being in the hospital because her mother wasn't even attending to her. She was, I guess, in an orphanage or something. And her mother wanted to do something for her, so her mother simply sent her a gift. And the little girl responded, I don't want the gift, I want my mother. And that's how it is, you see. You know, Ananias, his presence there with Paul meant the world. If we could somehow understand tonight, it's not having all kinds of ability that God uses us to help people. It's many times just being there, letting them know we care. A person that's connected. A person that is committed. And then a person that is consecrated is the kind of person God uses. What do I mean by consecration? I'm talking about someone that's at God's disposal. At God's disposal. Somebody that God can simply use any way He wants to. And we don't try to bring to the table what we want to do. When God called Moses, Moses began to complain. And God reminded Moses, him getting the job done didn't depend on his ability anyway. But there did happen to be someone by the name of Aaron that could help him out a little bit if he needed some help. But all God was wanting Moses to do was just simply consecrate himself and do his will. Not necessarily being an orator, not necessarily having all that ability, just be willing to be consecrated. And that's the kind of person that God uses. Someone that'll just consecrate their life to Him. Maybe come before Him saying, Lord, I don't have a whole lot to offer, but what I am and what I have, it's yours. It's amazing how God will use that. A man recorded a meeting one time with General Booth of the Salvation Army. And Booth was a very humble person. And he asked Booth a question, this man that met the guy who was in charge of the Salvation Army. He said, What do you count for your success? And Booth did not hesitate to give him this answer. Tears began to flow down his cheek as he answered this man. He said, I'll tell you the secret of it all. He said, God has had all there is to have of what I have to offer. If there's any power, if there's any power at all, any blessing at all in the Salvation Army, it's because God has had all of the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And the man walked away. He said, I've learned that the greatness of a man's power was in the measure of his surrender to the Lord. That's the greatness of our power, is in the measure of our surrender to the Lord. That's the kind of person that God will use. Someone that'll just surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. God doesn't ask you more than that. Again, go back to when He saved you. When God saved you and me, what did we have to offer God in order to get saved? Nothing. What do we have to offer God now? Anything that we offer Him, He's already given it to us, and we just give it back to Him. That's what it is. There's nothing that we have to offer God but what He didn't give to us in the first place. So look around you. In a church situation, you have some that might have certain talents, some abilities that others don't have. But guess what? We're all what we are by God's will, and He gave us what we have. I mean, even if we're born with natural talent, that's still a God-given. I mean, it really is. And it's no reason for us to be proud. God just saw fit to give it to us. But He wants us to surrender what He's given us back to Him anyway. You know, it's like this. If you had two people, and both of those people had a sum of money, but the sum of one person's money may be less than the other, but yet let's say both of them received a gift from the hand of someone that thought a lot of them and said, here, I'm going to give you something. And those two people, let's say, turn around and want to give it back to God. Well, one may give more than the other, but the thing about it is they both gave what they had received. And that's how it is with our lives. We just simply give back what God has given us. We have no right to envy others that have certain things that we don't. We're what God made us to be. Let's just be willing to surrender what we have, and God's going to be pleased. That's the kind of person God uses. The person who's connected, person who's committed, person who's consecrated. That's the kind of person God uses. See that time and time again in the Scriptures. And then there's another thing, and I'll be through with this. The kind of person that God uses is a compassionate person. You know, if you go back and read the book of Acts about Ananias, you know what he did? I love this. He goes up and puts his arm around Saul and calls him Brother Saul. Read it. He puts his arm around that guy, around Paul, calls him Brother Saul. I'll tell you something, that speaks volumes right there. He was compassionate. He was willing to take Paul in. He hugged him, as it were, called him Brother Paul. See, we need to be good to people too like that, don't we? You know, treating people that way, God is pleased. Evangelist one time held a revival service, held a meeting, was preaching. Asked for testimony in that meeting, a little black girl stood up. Here's what she said. She said, through this campaign, talking about that preacher's preaching, she said, through this campaign, I found Christ. And He has made me willing to forgive the man who murdered my brother. You know what? God's good, isn't He? Isn't it wonderful how God can turn a hater, a despiser, a murderer, and just turn their life around? And furthermore, it's amazing how God can take a person that has a mean, bitter, grudging spirit and soften their heart once they get saved. Ananias, because of God's grace, was able to go up, put his arm around Paul, and say, Brother Paul. He is saying brother to a person that just a few weeks before that had been on a campaign murdering Christians. But now he's brother. God helps us to call people brother or sister and to tell people from the heart, I love you in the Lord, brother. God helps us do that. So that's the kind of person God uses. Now, what have I said tonight? Well, I hope I've just passed on a few practical things that'll help us to realize this evening it is a blessing, a privilege to be used of the Lord. And don't be too upset if you're called a fool. It depends on if fool means fool. And then consider the source. The main thing is to do the main thing. That's to love the Lord, serve Him, and God will be pleased. Amen to that? Let's pray. Father,